From the network that brought you The Office and 30 Rock, John Lithgow stars in Trial and Error.
I did not kill my wife. Back in the day, I was known as a lady killer.
It's a murder mystery wrapped in a comedy.
Where were you the night Margaret was murdered?
I went to get gardening supplies.
Fantastic. I'm sure they have security video.
One shovel, one tarp, and let's throw in this ski mask.
Trial and Error. After the finale of This Is Us, tonight on NBC.
Hey, it's the Fosters After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we're breaking down Season 4, Episode 16, called The Long Haul, and here to help us do it is Bradley Breidewig. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
How's everybody doing?
Good to be back.
Woo! Welcome back. We're so excited.
Thank you for having me back.
We usually introduce you as the producer and creator of The Fosters. Also, you're the director of this episode.
I know, yes. It's crazy, right? Oh, I'm so lucky. I'm so lucky I got this episode. Written beautifully by Megan and Wade, by the way.
Okay. Yeah. Did you pick this one specifically, or did it just kind of like luck?
Very early on in the season, we decide what slots the directors are getting. So I wanted the middle slot because typically for us, it usually ends up being either a big event or something a little softer and funnier and more heartfelt or something about family. Mm-hmm. So I wanted that slot this season.
Oh my
so
God.
I took it.
Cool. Well, we're so glad you did it. We're so glad to have you here. Let's do some quick intros and we'll get to it. I'm Jeffrey Masters. I tweet from Jeff Masters 1.
I'm Stephanie Georgie. I tweet from at Stephanie Georgie.
I'm Jillian Leff. I tweet from at Jillian Leff. And be sure to follow us on Twitter for this episode so you can ask Bradley questions. You can tweet me at Jillian Leff, or you can use the hashtag ABTVFosters and I will try to read as many things as possible. But I'm very interested.
You got that down, by the way.
In knowing what you have to say.
Yes.
I try.
Yeah.
I mean, listen.
I like
the fans are incredible
for
this show.
It's a lot of info. Mm-hmm.
I know. And before we get to it, we just want to say we're sponsored this week by Stamps.com. These days you can get everything on demand like our podcast, and waiting in line can be annoying, much like the sound of my voice, but you don't have to do that with Stamps.com. Everything is available. Anything you can do at a post office, you can do right now from your desk with Stamps.com. I use it to send things for work. I use it every day. I print it off. And with our code, which is BUZZ, B-U-Z-Z, it's a special offer. You get a 4-week trial. It includes postage and a digital scale. So don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else tonight. Listen to our show first. Then go to Stamps.com. Click on the radio microphone at the very top corner and type in BUZZ, B-U-Z-Z. That's Stamps.com, special code BUZZ. Thanks.
Well done, sir.
You should be doing more commercials. Truly.
That was great, Jeff.
It's a mouthful, guys. So, this episode.
Yeah.
Y'all teased about a really big 10 minutes at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it was. I'm so happy that it was a celebratory 10 minutes.
Right? Mm-hmm.
We don't always get that.
I know. And that's why I love that we teased it, because I think everyone was expecting some big tragic or something big cliffy. And to us, we wanted it was a love letter to the family and especially to Steph and Lena. You know, they so earned this moment and we so wanted to give it to everyone. So.
Oh yeah, if we had a hardcore kiss like this in season 1, you're right, we had to earn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, like, I hate to bring up like firsts and like LGBTQ things, but, like, to see that like with two gay characters having that big of a kiss on TV, it just, you don't see that.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. And you know what? I just said, go for it. Love on each other. You know, we took that camera almost 360 around them, and I knew I wanted to live in that moment for as long as humanly possible. Just because they're two women in love, and they've been through a lot. Clearly, they've been through a lot.
And we are celebrating, too, and then you see the family in the window also celebrating.
It's such, I know. I know.
So I mean, good. I know you watch our show, and you catch it when you can.
I do. I'm a fangirl. I really, 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 really am. Honestly, I truly am.
So this season, a lot of the things, you know, that we've been talking about is how many downers we've had.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
For this episode to be uplifting, I think you're redeemed, mm-hmm. In my book anyway.
Good.
I just feel like we've seen so much sadness, and to finally see, you know, the moms happy, and I couldn't have thought up a better way to do it.
Good.
And it was unexpected, and I'm curious to see what the fans thought. So if you guys want to tweet me your thoughts on the end, please let me know. And we can go back to it in a minute. But
yeah, I'm trying to catch up, too. There's a lot going on right now.
It was just gorgeous. Like, I just...
I love, too, that you said it was, like, for the fans, because, really, it... I wouldn't have liked watching the next, like, six episodes being like, oh, God, divorce papers, like, what's gonna happen?
Oh, yeah. The moment that we knew we had to sort of put that story to rest, we also wanted to celebrate their marriage and their love for each other. We didn't want to drag that out any longer. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? Let's get it over with. The papers came, but you know what? We love each other so damn much.
Boom,
we're
going to
move on and marry each other again.
That was my favorite part.
The urgency of the storm being like, go for it now.
Right? Oh, my gosh. There's they've a ticking weathered, clock, man. They've weathered the storm, like, over
and over. Oh, my gosh. We're so poetic.
It's true, and that's what I was thinking when I was hysterically crying, because I was, and so was Steph.
We had tissues to prove it.
And by the way, that was one of the biggest things we've done on the show, because we made it rain on our set that was not shot in Long Beach. That was actually shot at Warner Brothers.
Oh, really?
And it was one of the biggest special effects, believe it or not, that we've had to do on the show. It's a very lengthy, expensive process. Mm-hmm. Because you can't get any water on the set. You can't get it on the grass. You can't get it on the trees. Everything is fire retardant. So it's sprayed with chemicals to keep the set from burning down. So it was a whole to-do. And we almost gave it up last minute because there was a lot of cost and a lot to it. And I said, absolutely the hell not. Mm-hmm. We are doing this. It's a big challenge for us, but we're going to figure it out. Yeah. So I had more meetings about the rain than I've ever had on anything else in our history of the Fosters.
Well, thank God it paid off.
It did. It was so brilliant.
So did you have to shoot it in one go? Or how many takes did you do?
We basically had one take on each side. So we had a take on Callie and Mariana, and we had a take on the moms. And that was it. We were prepared for a second take, but literally it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. We had no more time left, and you know, we're a ticking clock kind of show. Mm-hmm. And so I hoped and prayed that it would work in that first shot, and the 360 did. So
Well, the fans have spoken, and it's overwhelmingly positive. Tommy Castronova said, I kept waiting for something tragic or shocking to happen, but it was so nice and warm and fuzzy, and I loved it.
Oh, I love that.
Sarah F. said, I think my fave scene was the whole family watching the kiss from inside the window. It's just...
I like Christopher. He said, a good emotional reliever prepared for the future episodes, right?
Yeah. It's a little bit of a breather.
It was a breather. It was really beautiful.
It was nice. Beautiful, but it's also so nice to, like you said, you know, we don't always want to bring up the first this, the first that, but to see it and to be so comfortable and love it and want it and just like... Oh my gosh, you know, to put you in that feeling. Yeah. They're so good. I think they deserve
I always
that
wanted
too.
They have the best chemistry.
They really do.
Hands down.
We were like brainstorming because I work in entertainment and we were thinking about like TV couple like goals. Mm-hmm. And like I was like, obviously the Addams Fosters because they're just like these two women, they are so in sync with each other. And I also follow them on social media and it's just like they're friends. Mm-hmm. And I buy into all of it. Like, it's lovely.
They very much, they're in love with each other in real life. They really, truly do. And it's rare in this town. It really is, you know. People get along on sets, but they have such a love for each other and such a respect for each other. And they're both so damn brilliant.
Yeah. They are.
And honest.
And there's, like, such a... I don't want to see, like, straight people play gay characters who, like, gay it up or put on a voice. But that being said, I also, there are certain nuances to, like, queerness in the queer life. And so that can be missing sometimes when, like, I appreciate a straight actor who's like, well, I don't need to play gay. It's just an attraction. Thank you for that. But there are nuances that are missed. And, like,
for sure.
With these two women who are, like, in love and, like, a relationship, like, a friendship even, like, it... And my, like, my ticking clock never goes off. I'm like, ding, ding, ding. They're straight.
Good.
Right.
Yeah. I love that. And that's important to them. They care about the community so much.
Of course. You can
so they put a lot of thought and effort into you know, really going there. It's not just about being an actor or being in love or what have you. They actually care about the community.
I was going to say, it's funny that you say they put effort because they seem so effortless.
Yeah.
You know? It's just so natural to them. And you're right. There's just something that's kind of there. You could almost... You'd wonder which is it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And they're so good at making me cry.
Like, right?
Yeah. Terry doesn't have to say anything and I start crying.
I'm like, I know.
So
she
good
sometimes
at this.
Makes me cry for other reasons. But I love her. She's, yeah. You were saying she sometimes with just a look with her and it says everything.
It does. Yeah. I think that's what was so beautiful too was just to see her because she wasn't allowed to say so much in this episode because it was like weird situations, but she didn't have to and we still understood her. And then it was nice to see the look on her face when Lena first said, well, we don't need to get married again because, you know, it hurts you. And then to see her happy again at the end just to get the marriage.
Yeah.
And say you wouldn't. especially because it was a thing for her to, Lena was the one who wanted to get married and not Steph. So it's kind of nice to see the roles flip and to see Steph in that position of like, no, you're right. This is what I want. This is what's important.
Yeah.
And even in season 4 of the show, it's so exciting for the viewers to see all of the characters together in one scene.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So from when Annie Potts came in and they were having the dinner around the table, I was like, oh my God, they're all together at once. Like, it's still exciting after 4 seasons. I think that's awesome mm-hmm. to watch.
And we've how many kitchen scenes have we done? How many dinner and breakfast mm-hmm. scenes? Right. But every time we do it, I still have the same feeling.
Yeah.
And even when we go into the kitchen to shoot for the day, it's a big day because you have to get all the looks. It's a ton of shots, but it's still one of my favorite moments to be on set for.
It's so exciting. Yeah. When they said we're getting married, I was like, we're doing another wedding. I didn't know that we'd get it today.
That's the best part. We didn't have to wait for it. Oh, good. Yeah, because it would have just been dragged out. It's like, oh no, now they have to do all of that and
no, let's just get to it.
Yeah, bada bing, bada boom.
That's right.
Yeah, and then the grilled carrot hot dog is great.
Right. That was so good. I would have been so mad if he said grilled carrots. I'd be like, oh. Okay.
Yeah, and I just liked too that Annie Potts is Sharon. Mm-hmm. Sharon's issue was not with the relationship; mm-hmm. it was with the marriage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because that is easier not to bring up. Good, like she, it was a secret, let's say she had. It's easier to keep that secret that it's this detail of it, not the entire relationship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I love that she was such a central focus of this episode because she kind of had like multiple storylines going, which we usually only see her kind of like in one. And it was nice to see her also wrapped up in the Jesus.
Yes, it was so good.
Emma situation. And her sort of, you know, saying, just, I'm here for you because nobody else really has been. Mm-hmm. I love her. I love the, first of all, the way that she looks. We were kind of like, we touched on this when we were watching the episode, but just for an actress, she is so gorgeous. Mm. And it's like there are very rare cases when you see these actresses that still have movement in their face. And, you know, it's right. like, she's
actors and actresses.
Actors and, yeah. you know yeah, you're yeah, right. Yeah. You're right. But it's just, it's nice to see how expressive and wonderful and fluid her acting is. And she had great one-liners this episode. I felt like she was comic relief while being caring, and we needed it. I missed her.
Yeah.
You know, like, I love those sort of, like, characters that come and go.
And she just, I said this to you earlier, she radiates positivity. Right. Like, when she's, absolutely. When we know she's coming home, we call it home, oh. when we know she's coming home, it's electric. You know, it's mm-hmm. just, we're so excited to have Annie back. So when we knew we were getting her the season, we wanted to make sure that we really layered her throughout yeah. the episode because her chemistry with everyone is so on point. Just like, it's like she never left.
Yes, exactly.
You know, every time we have her back, it's like she never left.
Her, I really love the wisdom that you give her character because that's the thing that grandmothers have is that they know so much. And I'm happy that she wasn't like hysterical when she read the letter, that she kept it to herself. It obviously did affect her and that she, you know, chose to spoke to Emma, and it's so, and I love that she said, I would never tell anyone. You yeah. know, I feel like if it was Steph or Lena, they'd freak out and be like, no, I have to. But she gets it.
Yeah.
And that's a crazy thing to, I mean, because, you know, being a grandma and then seeing Emma go through that, and Emma's so young.
Right.
You would be frightened, but she knows. Also,
yeah, and it wasn't Sharon's place to give that information to anyone else. That exactly. was Emma's story. Mm-hmm. That was Emma's story. And she knew that. As a woman, as a grandmother, as a mother, she knew that.
And such a recurring theme of the show, too, is that everyone has their own stories. I'm thinking about, like, Elliot Fletcher's story, mm-hmm. character who's trans. And it's not something that these people are, like, ashamed of, but it's just their story to tell yes. and to reveal at a certain time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
No,
yeah.
I just Annie Potts.
I know.
She's just dreamy. She is. Like,
do we have like that little dream clapper? Boop, 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 boop.
You know who's what's Will's character's name? He's great too. He was in the OJ show also, the American Crime Story.
Rob Morrow, yeah, he plays Will.
I love him.
Yeah, he directs for us too.
Oh really?
Yeah, he directs several episodes.
The way he loves her is is amazing.
Well, he is Jewish.
That's right.
No, what I was going to say is we were talking about character evolution, and we finally got to see sort of the way that Sharon's character has evolved, because we didn't know their sort of the start of their relationship, where she saw his trailer and was like, I'm going to report you, and yeah. she was in kind of a weird place post the death of Steph's dad. And, you know, she has evolved so much. So I feel like that also probably played into the way that she responded to Jesus, responded to Emma.
For sure.
She's sort of grown in a way that, you know, this person has influenced her life. I feel like she's become a lot more easygoing.
The shrooms helped her out with that.
Yeah, right.
And nobody once ever labeled her as a cougar.
Right.
You know, getting a bite on that.
Please.
Before we move on from Sharon, Annie Paz, I have one more question.
Yeah.
Who found that wedding dress?
Oh my god.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah. The shoulder cutout?
The shoulder cutout. I know. And like
I didn't
the little
know what to do.
Turmeric flower thing on. I know.
I loved it.
It's amazing. Dina Appel, our costume designer, found it.
It's outrageous. I thought it was in like a daisy, and then when they revealed that it was her shoulder, I was like, oh man. Yeah.
But I mean, Annie wore that dress. Mm-hmm. I mean, she looked, you know, God willing.
And before we move on, one more thing. The shot of Will and Sharon on the bed.
Yes.
I loved that shot.
Me too.
That was so intimate and special and simple.
Yeah. And because they have such a great connection too, you could play it in that oneer. You know, it was just a slow sort of tilted push in on the two of them. Yeah, it's one of my favorite things about the episode.
And they're white on that crazy bedspread.
I know.
Yes.
Framing them perfectly.
Yes.
Yeah. It reminds me of Garden State. Remember Garden State?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, that
weird
exactly.
wallpaper behind him in the mirror.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I love that. But no, you're right though. You brought up the abortion. That was a lovely scene.
It was so nice. And you know, and Emma needed it. You could tell she needed not a kid like Brandon. She just wanted someone to
say, I see you, and to say, I understand her decision.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, you're right. She needed somebody to save in her life. Because as far as we know, Brandon knows, and that is it.
Right.
She hasn't told Sierra.
Yeah.
Well, but she knows.
Emma hasn't told her, right?
Sierra's not, I mean, Mariana's not going to be any help anyways. So, like, again, like I said, it's like the love and the support and the understanding of a woman who really knows.
Ugh, I know.
Thank goodness she got that.
And then, unfortunately, though, we have to look forward to, Jesus will find out at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, it's the Fosters. Of course he will. And you know, maybe soon.
Can you imagine if, like, the show continued and we were like, remember how Jesus never found out that his
girlfriend? Why did they drop that storyline? Like, how dare they?
I really do feel like it's going to hurt him. I think he's going to be sad. Like, really, really upset about it.
Well, just remember, he's an adopted child, you know, so there might be some sensitivity.
Of course. That's why, from the second she did that, and when Brandon was saying that, I was like, no way he's going to be cool
about
it.
Out.
Oh, because his mom had that option and didn't have an abortion.
It's an interesting conversation to be had on our show in particular.
Geez. Right.
Yeah.
Everything is so layered.
We try.
But it's so real,
too.
I know. I was laughing at all the Bob Dylan in this episode, too. Like, we always have
behind
the poster on the
shoes,
wall,
yeah.
But also Brandon's t-shirt
was
Bob Dylan. Can't you see, like, Brandon, like, going home and being like, I love this artist named Bob Dylan.
It was nice to see him not so mopey this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay, what do we think, though? Okay, well, we'll get to that. Emma and Brandon talked about their moment and their connection they have together.
Oh, thank God.
And I think that she's interpreting this person who helped me during a vulnerable time as a connection, as she should. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's anything that will lead romantic.
No, we don't expect that, right? No, not at all. She literally just meant that, they had this big secret going on. Okay. There was something going on.
I bring that up because I don't know if you, Bradley, have any control of the promos. But for the promo for this episode was the
we
clip
We don't, by
of,
the way.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's just, okay. Yeah. So it's the network.
Sometimes I wish we did, but we don't.
And they led us down that path by saying there's a connection between us. Cut.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're fantastic at teasing storylines, and sometimes
their job.
Yeah, it is their job, and it really works for us. You know, we're doing very well in season 4, thank God.
Yeah.
Sometimes they will lead you down a path that isn't necessarily what we're intending or doing on the show, but at least we reveal it within that episode. It's not like they're leading you down a path and then for episodes or weeks or even months, you're
totally
too teased.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of doing well, you guys have picked up for another season.
That's
going to take you to 100.
It is.
That is so exciting.
Yeah.
Special plans for episode 100?
You know what? We're just breaking the beginning of 5 right now. Mm-hmm. We're on the 3rd episode in the writer's room. Okay. So we don't know. I mean, we have some ideas, but we don't necessarily know exactly what 100 is going to be yet.
Musical episode.
God. I mean,
a raining musical episode.
A raining musical. Yeah, look, that, talk about a monster. That was a monster for us. We'll definitely have more music in the series because we're nothing without our music, especially Brandon. But I don't know if we'll do another musical episode.
I just want to sit in the writer's room with you guys, like,
just take it all in.
Yeah.
And I say nothing. I just, no, please, just think
be
out
a fly
loud.
On the wall.
Yeah, just, yeah. I want to hear it all.
Yeah. We have a good time. Sometimes we're highly inappropriate.
Again, but, I don't care. Cool. Yeah. This is so great.
Going into the creation of the show, did you have plans and storylines or initial thoughts for where you wanted the kids to go after they graduated high school?
That's a good question. We never thought that far because, to be perfectly honest with you, when we first sold the show, we were just so grateful to have 10 episodes on the air.
Yeah.
Because everyone around us told us this show was A, never going to sell.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And B, never going to make it past 10 episodes. We were hearing, there was all that noise around us constantly.
Are these people friends of yours or like industry? Like
it's industry.
Newspaper?
And it's just, it's the buzz, it's
haters
the noise.
Haters go hate.
And so we were just, we kept saying, the three of us, Peter, Joanna, and I, we kept saying, we're just going to focus on these 10 and do the best 10 episodes that we can do. We're so grateful this family is on the air, mm-hmm. and then let's take it from there. We had ideas where we wanted to go with, especially Brandon and Callie and our moms and the kids, but we never, if I'm being honest, imagined 100 episodes. It's,
wow.
Incredible.
It's, you know, woo-hoo! It's so rare. I'm about to get a little emotional.
Oh!
It's so rare in our industry nowadays. You know, there's so much content out there, and so, and that it's this family, you know. So, yeah.
Well, since we're on, this is probably not going to make you stop crying. Since we're on the topic of, like, you know, the heart of
you're
the show and the anchor.
I know, sorry.
I know, she's like, emotion. I love it.
Yeah.
You ooze it. I got a lot of fan questions this week about Brandon and Callie, mm-hmm. and I know that you've addressed many times on your Twitter about
right.
them, but I would like to give you the floor. Speak directly to the camera.
Oh, my gosh.
Damn, Jillian's got
know,
your guys'
are,
back. She
what,
said speak directly at the camera.
This is like an Diane Oprah
Sawyer.
Moment.
Because,
I know.
Do not tell Bradley what to do.
Because, to be honest, it's like I can imagine how you are hounded. I was this week.
Yeah.
I was last week when I told them that you were going to be on the show. It's all anybody wants to know about. I'm a shipper, but I told you before, I'm okay with where we're going right now. I think that there needs to be, like, you know, we're exploring many things, and it's very exciting. But what do you have to say to the diehard Brawley shippers out
First
there?
Of all, I love the Brawley shippers. I think every time I hear from them, honestly, I appreciate it because they're so invested and so into this relationship, the two of them. And all I really want to say is I love where Brandon and Callie are right now in their lives.
Me too.
I love where the family's at right now. I think the family is a solid unit. And I'm not going to deny that Brandon and Callie have such a special connection. They do. They see each other. They get each other. And it's been a little chaotic for them, mm-hmm. but they love each other right now as brother and sister.
Mm-hmm. As they should.
At this moment, mm-hmm. I cannot imagine adding more stress to Callie's plate.
Right?
Yeah. Me neither.
Just add one more thing.
When AJ was saying, you only talk about yourself, and she countered with, I'm going to jail, homie. Yeah. I was like, she is not wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also known as, she is correct.
Yeah. Right.
I just, like, love, I don't know, like, when you see your faves, you know, a good, you know, like, OTP couple, like, they have their ups and downs, you know, you don't know what's going to happen, but this is, like, a completely different circumstance than any sort of fandom, because they're family.
Yeah.
So this adds, like, four more layers to things. And obviously the connection is undeniable, but also it's really nice to know that they can, you know, be in the same room with each other and not hate each other, want to bang each other.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, it's just like they're coexisting. And
right.
I think that that's important, especially for two kids that are teenagers that were intimate with each other. Like, you can see how much they've grown, the two of them.
Yeah.
And also, like, I just want to give it up to the moms for a second, because they let the two of them figure it out as well.
Yeah.
There was not a lot of added pressure. You know, I think they still had their eyes on it, but they took a little step back,
right.
and they made a decision early on that this family, including Callie, was everything to them.
Right.
So if it was going to survive, if it was going to continue forward. They had to just keep their eyes on it, but let the two of them figure it out, you know?
Yeah. And I think we've seen Kelly really grow up under, like, the care of these two supportive parents, and she's become a really reasonable person. So I think that she knows that, like, yes, they have a connection, but, like, is she willing to, like, leverage, the, like, her parents?
For nothing.
You know, that could, like, break up. It could all create drama. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if we, like, remove Brandon from the equation and sort of see how Callie has been acting as of late, like, this episode, to be honest, like, she really pissed me off because she's still pushing this Troy Johnson thing. And it could really hurt her. And for somebody that is so on the edge of possibly being put into a women's prison, it's terrifying. And for her to keep pressing on and keep pushing on and now getting AJ and Mariana involved, this is like such a tangled web and it's such a mess. And I give AJ all of the credit for being mad at her because I think she does. And who even knows if Mariana gave her the permission to friend this girl and what is she going to do with that information?
Right.
It's honestly scary. Like, I know that it's leading up to obviously something big because that's, like, what you guys do so well. Mm-hmm. But it's just frustrating because it's, like, when is she going to learn? I don't understand.
Tom was right. She's her own worst enemy.
Yeah, it's complicated for me because I understand what you're saying, but it's, you know, I think we all feel so helpless, especially right now in this moment in time with everything going on in our world. Mm-hmm. And so if I actually put myself in a position in which I might possibly be able to affect what was wrong and make it right. Mm-hmm. I might have a hard time stepping away from that. I might have a hard time removing myself from the equation. Mm-hmm. If I could take down the man that is in charge right now, I would do everything in my power to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think she's got this drive right now to help that poor kid. She really believes with her heart that he's innocent.
When she was sitting in the car, I had a moment where I was thinking, first, AJ was right about that, but also how she's like, no, I need to prove it. All she ever says is she needs to prove it. And I think what no one understands is that, yes, it might get dangerous, but when you know and no one's believing you, it's sucks.
And there were many times that no one fought for Callie.
Exactly.
That she was alone in the system, that she was left on her own. Mm-hmm. And so I think she can't forget that.
Yeah.
And to me, the heartbreaking part is that for 3 seasons, we've seen her get into trouble for things that she has done. And yet this time she's in trouble for something that she was doing the right thing for. Yeah. She went and like turned herself in.
Yeah.
Right. And then this happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like the social justice warrior in her. That's like, I cannot let this innocent person
Which is
go.
Good, because we need people like that. And it's standing up for that. And then also, I'm happy that you went AJ's line about how, no, I'm a black man in America.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to... And he's absolutely right, because that's the whole thing with Troy. Like, what makes me so mad is that he just seems to be this, like, privileged kid that did get away with everything.
Yeah.
That's why Kyle's in jail. And so, like, oh, it gets so frustrating when you see that this is how people are and that's how it is. That's why they are getting away with it.
And if anything, I wish we would have put this in there, and we've talked about this in the room. I wish we would have had Callie say to him, and we might do this down the road, so if we do it, forgive me. I wish she would have said to him in that moment, you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
You're right, AJ. I apologize. Mm-hmm. Because she should have.
Well, and because she didn't know that. I mean, you said she was right about when she said, I'm going to jail.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, but are you? Because if he was in this position, he wouldn't have the opportunity to have trial.
Right.
He wouldn't have any of that. Like, that's why it was, like, so frustrating, because I keep thinking that she's lucky she looks the way that she does. If it was Daphne's character that's going through this.
Oh, forget it.
Forget it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Ugh. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, poor Callie, you guys are so hard on Callie. And
Are you? Sorry. Continue.
I mean, with everything we put her through, that's what I mean.
Okay.
With everything that we put that girl through, we hear that a lot, at least, you know? And I think what she represents for us is all the injustices in the world.
Absolutely.
You know, she does. And she's surrounded by the injustices of the system. And so I think that's why we constantly, you know, tell those stories. Mm-hmm. You don't agree?
Because it is easy for all those things to happen to, like, a single person. And, I volunteered the Trevor Project, and I see people who, like, when one bad thing's happened to you, and then when a second bad thing happens to you...
It's a domino.
It dominoes really fast. And if you're homeless, if you're in the foster care system, you don't have a support system to fall back on. And now she does, and she's going to be able to get out of this somehow. Mm-hmm. I believe that, because she has this, like, family and this, like, loving support system, but not everybody has that. So, it's, yeah, like you said, a dominoes, and that's really easy.
But that's what I mean. We're surrounded by characters as well that are more challenged than Callie.
Yes. Right.
And that's why I truly believe in her fight. Mm-hmm. I believe in her fight because she knows, at least in this moment in time, she has the support that some of them do not have.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, I want us to talk to that a little bit more on the show because I think it's important.
Actually, I have a coworker, and I forgot to mention, hopefully we can have her come in. The other day I was asking her what she was doing. She's like, I'm taking a class. I'm like, for what? She's like, I'm taking a class so that I can certify as a foster advocate.
Aww.
And I was like, wait, what?
Do you watch the Fosters?
That's what I said, of course. I gave her the entire rundown of the show. Yeah. I'm like, we're going to have to talk to you. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, you just wanted to? I grabbed her hand. And I was like, talk to me, please. And she's like, no, like, it's just where they go to court and they stand up for these kids, like they're like the representation and whatnot. I'm like, that's incredible. I love you so
much.
And
not only that, but like I always sell the show to all of the other things that you learn along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have learned so much about the prison system, the court mm-hmm. system, marriage equality,
yep.
You know, the social justice, really, like
LGBTQ sex ed.
Yes.
Child, right? Honestly, child development. Like, I've recommended it to some of my friends who are in that career as well. I'm like, you should watch it. This is brilliant.
And today, Steph was telling Callie that the burden of proof is much higher in an adult court.
Mm-hmm.
As the writers, like, do you have like legal consults? Like, how do you know this?
We just constantly do research, as much research as we can. So mm-hmm. our writers will take on some of that research and they'll call, you know, legal counsel, they'll call doctors, they'll call whoever they can get a hold of and get as much info as we can, and we talk about it in the room, and we really make sure that we do as best we can to get it right.
Yeah.
Lauren Rodriguez said, please thank Bradley for the scene between Callie and Steph tonight. It made me cry. I need that kind of support.
Oh, thank you. I love that.
It's just, it's like, I can't recommend this show enough. Mm-hmm. But even, you know, tonight we got to deal with something that we haven't dealt with before, which is LGBTQ sex ed, which I think personally is extremely important because, you know, like in the meeting that they had, these kids didn't sign permission slips, which, by the way, is that going to fall back?
Right.
I don't know. Hopefully not.
Almost everything does.
It does. Hey, I didn't even think about that. Of course they can't get the permission slip signed.
Yeah.
No one's ever out in high school.
I know, but it's absolutely unreasonable that Monty would do that. So, like, hopefully that's on Lena's side.
Yeah, we did permission slips at, not permission slips, but the parents had to sign to know that we were having sex ed.
Really?
In middle school.
I don't remember that. I just thought it was part of the curriculum.
It was.
Maybe it depends on where you are or where you go.
It was something like that.
But you had told us a little bit before. I mean, obviously, we only saw a very small portion of it. We had sort of questions about the things that were on the table, and you were telling us that a lot of research went in behind that.
For sure. Yeah, all the items on the table during that scene, we did a lot of research into what they use in classrooms, not just LGBTQ sex ed, but all mm-hmm. sex ed. So that was fun research, for sure. And there were a lot of questions on set, so that was fun
to
talk.
There was a lot of questions while you were watching.
Like, I never even thought about the fact that there is no LGBTQ sex ed. Mm-hmm. Like, is that something that was on your mind or you heard about?
Yeah, we're just starting to talk about it within our education system, you know, and it's becoming more important now than ever. You know, so it happens rarely. It usually happens in a more private situation where parents will host it in their homes.
Oh wow!
Because most school systems won't allow it or hear it.
Yeah.
So
they are implementing it. Again, a friend of mine just told me that his son they're going to do that in his school.
That's huge.
And he told me, he's like, I don't want him to be in that class. I'm like, why? And I was so happy, and I was like, go home, watch the show on
Freeform.
And you know, he's like a Latino traditional. He's like, yeah, because then he's gonna, I'm like, no, that doesn't, you're gonna want what you want. And I had to explain, I'm like, let him know so that he's not afraid and so that he doesn't get curious on his own if that's what you're so scared of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it was so funny, but it was a perfect way. He's like, really? What is it called? I'm like, yeah, just have him watch the show.
and thank you for making it inclusive for LGBTQ sex ed. It would have been very easy for another show to make it just like gay sex ed.
We're one community, so
yes,
why would we ever overlook that?
I think that other people are not as thoughtful in that as you.
I know,
but it's just like noticed and appreciated.
Thank you
very much.
That means a lot. Thank you.
Did you get a lot of this? I have a question from your family, like this show. I just know you have such a wonderful family.
I really do. You and really, they're probably watching right
yeah,
now.
You really
Hi,
do.
Mom and Dad.
Yeah, you're
I love you guys so much.
I love you, Mom and Dad, also.
I know.
they love you guys. Talk about so fangirls. Sweet.
No,
oh my
they're
God.
So good and so supportive. And it's so yeah. nice. And I'm always like, this is why he did the Fosters. He's just mimicking his family. I'm like, this is probably what your household is like.
Yeah. I grew up in the most supportive house on the planet. Mm-hmm. I really did. After the age of 9, I have a very complicated story in my youth. Because my dad, not a lot of people know this, my dad is actually my stepdad.
Oh.
And I call him my dad.
Of course.
Because the moment he walked into our lives, he loved us like his sons. And my youngest brother.
Stepdad.
Yeah. My youngest brother is my half brother because my mom
dad, I
and
love
my
you.
Stepdad
dad. Your dad told me that the day that I met him.
Really?
Yeah. And
I
he
love
said,
that.
But he's my son.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's my dad. Yeah. He's my dad.
Aww,
so sweet.
I know this is a very like cryy session.
Every Tuesday
for the people not tuning in and listening at home.
Hannah's here.
Hannah's here.
Can you get a shot?
She's
on her
just
real
hanging
quick?
Out with
yeah,
us.
Yeah, Hannah's here. She's crying on the couch. She
with
didn't have
tissue.
Time to watch the episode, but she wanted to join us, so she's here in spirit and in presence.
With Jude talking about sex with his parents, it like blows my mind, like that how sex positive they are and like the comfortability, and I think it's like phenomenal and necessary, and it just goes to show like where that came from, because Annie Potts is as like talks yeah. about sex as much as they do as well.
Totally.
Yeah. It's like everyone's talking about it.
And by the way, that's my family. My grandfather passed away a few years ago, but he was all about talking about sex. Like, we would sit down. Oh, my God. We would sit down to have Thanksgiving dinner. And he was just telling sex jokes and all of this stuff. And so I grew up in a household in which, you know, you could talk about your sexuality very
That's
comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
So, and therefore, you know, I didn't have a lot of questions. I sort
yeah.
of had the answers, and I didn't have to go out and explore and mm-hmm. find out other crap
oh my God.
Elsewhere.
Yeah.
I have wonderful parents, but when I was 16, my mom sat me down and said, do you know what sex is? And I said, yes. And she says, okay. And she said, it happens when a man and a woman are really, really, really in love. And that was about it.
Oh,
there's
okay.
no body parts, no like nothing else. And I was like, okay, got it, thank you. I'm a 16, like I figured it out before then, but like thank you. And like that was the talk.
Wow.
So not everyone has this experience.
I never got a talk.
Really?
Me neither.
No, it was
just
what it was. And I was a late bloomer, so it was like that didn't matter to me. I was like, well,
and
okay.
I still do not have time as a man and woman in love.
Well, there you go.
So that explains a lot.
You know what I did like this episode, which we finally got some answers in the Joa.
Yes.
Relationship. I really liked the fact that we found out that he's not as experienced as we all thought.
I knew it.
Which I love Noah, and I love what he brings to the table for the show.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's very important to see a young gay male that is not only as charismatic as he is confident.
Right.
You know, in comparison to Jude, who maybe sometimes isn't so sure of things,
mm-hmm.
he has that reassurance in Noah, and the conversation that they had, the two of them, I thought that was so wonderful, because, you know, sex just isn't sex.
Yes, exactly.
It's everything. It's all encompassing.
Yeah.
And I felt like finally Jude felt some relief from the pressure that he was feeling.
Right.
I think he needed that.
And like the symbolism of like being so sex positive and happy to talk about it while also being able to still say like I'm not ready.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like an amazing thing because like you don't have to have sex at that age.
This is going to be so weird to say. I found him so attractive when he said, I mean, but I'm not ready. Like to be again, I wish my household was much more like I had much more communication, but to just say that, to know about everything and be like, that's cool and I'll be ready for it and I'm
mm-hmm.
excited, not right now. But yeah, let's have fun together. Let's
learn
together.
It also makes it more exciting. It gives you something to look forward to,
right.
You know? It's like, nowadays, it's just like, you know, wham, bam, thank you, man. And
yeah.
everyone's moving on to the next, and then the next, and then the next.
Ugh.
Like, build some tension, you know
yes.
what I mean? Like, really earn it.
Go
Speaking
back
of your,
sailboat.
What's your tick, tick, tick? What goes off when you see it?
What?
So I had,
my ticker?
Yeah, your ticker?
My, like, red flag ticker?
Yes. Isn't he so good?
Oh, yeah, he's fantastic.
Noah?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? Like, you can, I'm like, wow, God, he brings such good tension.
Oh, yeah.
When he's around Jude, I'm like, kiss him.
Yeah.
Do something for me, please.
I love them together. I'm
so
just going to go, I love
well,
them
Well,
together.
We had Hayden on 2 weeks ago, and he was just off camera.
Yeah.
He was just like, I mean,
he just loved
Kalama just really likes to make out with me.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's easy, you know?
Yeah, whatever. He just shrugged his shoulders like he does. He's like, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Like, and to have like such a young queer character on TV that's not questioning his sexuality, mm-hmm. like he's figured it out and it's like no pressure. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He makes it so relaxing, like, ugh. Yeah, it's not so bad, huh?
I would love, just come out, everybody. I mean, if this is sort of like lasting, I would love to sort of know more about Noah and his backstory. Ditto.
You'll get more pieces of that for sure.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's his father that's the pastor, right?
His mom.
No, mom.
His mom is.
His mom.
Oh, okay.
His mom.
Yeah.
So
then we don't know about his pops.
No. Right. Right?
We were just talking about this the other day in the writer's room, funnily
yeah.
enough.
It's very interesting to me to see sort of this young gay male who is just literally like, he's so just electric.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I need to know like where that came from. If this was all the mom, if it was, you know, something that happened to him when his dad was in the picture, you know.
What if his dad's Brandon Quinn? He got everyone pregnant.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. He's very fertile.
It all comes back to the family.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They're brothers. But not just legally, though.
Just legally, yeah.
Okay. What do we think about Grace? That is the physical therapist, the music therapist's name.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's such a cutie.
Yeah. We learned more about her this episode as well.
Sure.
I'm a big fan.
Me too.
Good.
Why were we not a fan of Courtney? Why did we hate her so much?
Oh, how much time do you have?
That's a whole special episode for you guys.
Yeah. After hours. For an additional hour.
That's fine. You know I love you guys.
But doesn't Courtney come back? Because I think we saw her in a preview where she's like in the school hallway. Unless
whatever
I'm like mistaken.
Wait, say that one more time.
So we saw Courtney in like the season preview in like the hallway at Anchor Beach. Like that, we haven't seen that yet, right?
I thought we
where she no, comes like barging in and she's like, what if I am pregnant? Or she says something like that. Because I'm not mad. I'm,
I don't
am
remember
I making
them teasing
this
that.
Am I literally... Guys, idea. Please, I need, like, verification.
I
like, I don't remember filming
her
that either.
Because, like, she dropped something off at school or something.
No, she dropped them off at the hospital.
She dropped them off at the hospital, no, but she did come to school for something. She brought him because he forgot something at the house.
I don't know.
Oh, wait, do we have a ship name for Brandon and Grace? Everyone's asking me. Brace?
Brace.
Brace.
Brace. Yeah. Hashtag Brace.
Brace yourselves, y'all.
Oh,
yeah. She's cool. I really like her. And she has a really good voice.
She really does.
Oh, my gosh.
All of our kids can sing.
It's crazy.
I mean, that's why
that's
we wrote a
so
musical
weird.
Episode.
Yeah, right?
Also, like, we gotta talk about Brandon's type. Like, the pretty brunette who can sing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was getting, like, Lou visions.
I know, right?
I know. I thought it was.
Oh,
I thought it was Ashley at first.
I know,
with the,
right?
With the bell sleeves, I was like, oh,
I'm excited.
Hi, Ashley.
I loved her Twitter joke. Her Twitter joke?
What? That laugh,
Twitter?
First of all.
I know, right?
That was like, the cutest cartoon laugh I've ever seen in real life.
I can't get it.
Yeah, because I'm not laughing about the joke. I'm laughing just at your laugh right now.
Oh, I just love, like, baby stand-up comedians.
I know.
What was her Twitter? Oh, when she when Grace did it. I'm sorry, I thought you were talking about Ashley.
Verification from somebody on Twitter that said, you're not making it up, it happened.
I must be forgetting something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That happens a lot, by the way, now, because we've done so many episodes that I'm finally having a hard time
so many
keeping track of what and when and where.
Also, you're like breaking new episodes at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah.
We it's like having split personalities
exactly.
or something.
But isn't it great that you can say that?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It really is.
I don't know. Now I'm getting mixed back and forth.
Oh.
I need to look it up myself.
I really, yeah. I think
I'll text you after.
Okay.
When you were saying earlier about you were initially just looking at 10 episodes because like that's what you thought maybe this show would be. Do you now look at each season just like, are you going season to season? Or like, has it sunk in yet? Or is there still that pressure of like, this might be the last?
No, we never feel that pressure now.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah. And we've, you know, we know we'll be given the heads up when we think it's time or when we think it's time. You
mm-hmm.
know, I think, you know, the network so appreciates the show and loves the show. And there's such a great communication with our network that it's never going to come as a surprise to anyone.
Yeah.
So.
Like, wrap it up in one episode.
Yeah, no. I mean, that happens a lot, obviously, on a lot of other networks and especially.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
And then when you mentioned earlier about Annie Potts, you said when we found out that we got her for the season, is that just based on availability?
Yeah. I mean, she's very sought after, you know, and she now lives in New Orleans,
she's not
LA based.
I know, of course she does, yeah.
So it's, you know, it's hard to get our guest cast sometimes because they're, you know, we're so lucky to have these mm-hmm. fantastic legends come and go on the show. So when we get one, we try to do our best.
You guys have really great guest cast.
We really do. We're very lucky that way.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
So I'm staring at your tattoo. Do you mind telling us what that is?
Oh,
sure.
While you're revealing personal things.
It says in sort of typewriter font, "This moment will just be another story someday." And it's from my favorite book, which quickly became one of my favorite movies, The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Of course!
Yeah.
Me too! I'm like, oh my God.
That was like my high school experience, that book. And so when I read it, when it first came out, I so fell in love with it. And I go back to it very often. And then when they made the movie, it was so perfect. Mm-hmm. In fact, I fell in love with the movie, obviously, for so many reasons. And the music, Michael Brook did the music.
Yeah.
He's now our composer on The Fosters.
Wow.
Lucky you.
Oh my God, full circle. Beautiful.
Yeah. For that reason? Did you seek him
out? Yes. I said when we first started the show, I wanted him. I was like, there's no way we're going to get him. Because they had just, the Perks had just come out. Mm-hmm. And he was very busy at the time. And then a couple of years later, we had a little bit of a change. And so I said, it's going to be probably impossible, but let's try to get him. And we reached out to him and he said, I love the show. I'll do it.
Oh, God. Wow.
But he's one of the best in the world.
Wow, I love that. Great.
Yeah.
That's a nice sentiment.
Yeah. And it's a good reminder.
Yeah. All day.
It's a good reminder, especially with everything going on in the world right now. This moment will just be another story someday.
Yeah. Especially story, you know?
Yeah.
And let it be a story.
With everything going on, do you take that into the writer's room and say, like, how can we work this into the show?
Yeah.
Really?
I will tell you that season 5 will be pretty political. We're going to be exploring a lot of...
Ooh, good. Are we going to get some good shout-outs? Indirect shout-outs?
Well, we're going to be very careful, not because we feel like we have to, but our timeline is a little different than what's going on in the world right now. But that doesn't mean we're not going to explore similar arenas, and especially using Anchor Beach as sort of a world to explore those things.
Well, even tonight, you guys, I mean, when Steph had her really, boisterous speech where she was like, I want to get married because this could get taken away from me. And this is a reality now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like, this is actually happening. And obviously, you know, you mentioned Anchor Beach, and I can't help but think of the trans bathrooms. Yeah. And
We've had conversations about that. And by the way, going back to that speech, sorry to interrupt you, but I want to make sure that I want to give props to Joanna because my head was so in the episode and something happened in the news. I can't quite remember what it was, but something happened with Trump. And she came to me, she came to us, and said, you know what, I think we need to use this opportunity to rewrite what Steph says to Lena. And I said, you're absolutely right. And she went away and wrote that beautiful speech.
Oh, my God.
And sent it to me while I was on set, and I bawled.
Yeah.
And we put it in right away. So it happened within a day of shooting it.
I loved Lena's delivery, her excitement to say these words to her wife.
Me too.
Yeah.
How aggressive it was. She's like, I want it to be recognized. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. It is a little emotional when you think about it.
Yeah.
You were mentioning the, like, Betsy DeVos, like, the education secretary and, like, taking away the trans protections. Mm-hmm. Because you mentioned Anchor Beach. But it just baffles me when you said that we, as a culture, are able to name the education secretary.
Right.
It should be a qualified person that does our job, and we don't know about it.
Yeah.
So the fact that we know, like, the secretary of urban housing and, like, I guess the attorney general is, like, a bare position, but, like, it's a terrifying, like, realization.
Reality. Yeah, I know. Because we're fairly educated people, and we should probably know those names anyways, but you're right. I never thought about it that way. I know almost everyone in the cabinet. And that's upsetting.
Yeah, and, like, I could name, like, Valerie Jarrett from last year with Obama, but, like, how many other, like, counselors to the president could you name?
I know.
Not a single one. It's because there's issues.
So... damn many.
Wow. So you guys just started breaking the season. Really right there.
I know. We were on lockdown.
It was.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Last question about season 5. You guys just started it now?
We've been in the room for a month or 5 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks.
So, and then that will, is that going to air the summer or the fall?
It airs the summer.
Timeline. Okay. Yeah. So you're not that far ahead.
No.
It's like a mid-July premiere. They released it.
Yeah, we're July 11th, I think, might be the date.
I was just curious, like, how much overlap.
This part of our year is faster than the flip side. When we shoot in the fall, we have more time to get to the winter premiere versus when we shoot in the spring, we have a shorter window to get to summer. Mm. So,
oh, I see. Yeah. As viewers, I love having like little 10-part chunks,
yeah.
But then you have no hiatus, though.
We really don't. We get the holidays off, and then maybe we'll get another week after that if we're lucky, and then usually in the summer, we don't get a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, man.
Well, and then on top of that, like, so he does this, but then he also has a million other projects.
You're taking over LA theater. You're the musical man.
I know, right?
Yeah. It's good.
So what's the latest?
What's the latest? I'm a big investor in Dear Evan Hansen, which is on Broadway right now.
Which is doing just okay.
It's doing okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's selling out. It's like the hardest ticket.
Yeah.
It's the hottest show on Broadway right now.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the little show that could. It's almost like, you know, our baby here.
Yeah. Little baby.
I'm doing something called The Last Breakfast Club at the Rockwell again.
What?
Which is all about what happens when these kids are still stuck in that damn library 10 years later. Because the world as we know it has ended on the outside, and they might be the only people on the planet. And we're going to use it to talk about politics. And,
perfect.
And,
I'm obsessed with that.
Yeah.
Oh, me too.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to get a cast announcement on that soon?
Very soon, and I will tell you, there are some very familiar faces from this show in particular and a few others. Beyond Ashley.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Ashley's actually been very busy. So
yeah, I've seen her on everything. Good for her.
Other names.
Other names from the Fosters. That's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Ooh, yeah. Sierra.
And a few others, I will say. We're building a really stellar cast.
Amazing. It's just exciting being in L.A. and having exciting theater to look forward to, because L.A. can be touch or go.
Yeah.
For the plays here and the musicals.
Right. Right. And, like, look, it's where my heart is. Like, there's nothing... You all know this. You know this, especially right now, because you're doing a play. Yeah. There's nothing like being in a room and that equal exchange of energy, where you feel the audience responding, because obviously you don't get that on a television show. It's take after take after take. Mm-hmm. But to have that one performance in the room with an entire room of people, there's nothing like it. Yeah. And I just want to say one more thing. I'm developing a musical called Headless, which is based on the original legend, but it's about the generations later. And it's how we use...
Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sleepy Hollow. It's how they use the original legend to keep everyone in fear. Mm-hmm. And love has become a bad thing in the small little town. Okay. Until Ichabod Crane III shows up to find out what really happened to his grandfather, and he exposes the truth, and suddenly love might become a good thing again.
Well, that sounds topical.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is that going to be in New York premiering or here?
So we're doing the lab at the Wallace Annenberg in Beverly Hills.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the workshop will be in New York, and we'll do a little out-of-town premiere, and then, we're working towards Broadway.
That is so exciting.
Yeah.
We unfortunately have to let you go, but thank you
for
coming back.
Thank you.
It's been so much fun. If people want to connect with you online, your Twitter is at Bradley Bredewick.
At Bradley Bredewick. Yes.
Fantastic. Jillian?
Okay. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jillian Leff.
You can find me on Twitter at Stephanie Georgie, on Instagram at TheStephanieGeorgie.
And I'm on Twitter at JeffMasters1. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.